Good morning, everyone. It's so good to be back together with some of our staff members here. I know many of you out there are wondering, when are we going to start back? And as we've talked as leadership and staff about coming back, we have not made a definite date yet, but what we've decided is that every week we're going to be looking at the situation and praying and asking the Lord, how and when and where. And so this week we're actually starting that process by not just having a small worship team, but having our full worship team, staff members, and some of their spouses. And so next week I anticipate even more. But I just want to just thank Tyler for his testimony and for his sharing. He's been a blessing to Nancy and I and to our church, and we're grateful for he and Landon and their girls, and we're excited about what God is doing because I believe, and this is what I want to talk to you about today, I believe that God is doing a new thing. I believe he's doing a new thing. And in my first thought about all this, is that we will not be going back to normal. Because normal doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't even exist anymore. So we will not be going back to normal. So let's just talk about some of the things that we've learned over these past 60, 70 days. You know, we thought about number one, that fear is from the devil. And so God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And so we're not going to be afraid. We're not going to be intimidated. We're not going to be worried. We're not going to be scared. You know, over these last 75, 80 days that we've been in all this, I don't know not one member of our church, one regular attender, one member who has the coronavirus. I know very few even know anyone who has the coronavirus. We are not afraid. We're not scared. We're not fearful. And we're not worried because God has not given us that kind of spirit. Number two, over the last 70 days, we've shown the world Jesus. I love what the Greek pilgrim said. They said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." I mean, they wanted to see Jesus. And in the same way those Greek pilgrims who came to Jerusalem wanted to see Jesus, I believe the world wants to see Jesus. And we are showing them Jesus. Jesus' hands are your hands. His feet are your feet. His mouth is your mouth. And as you've been serving and caring for and reaching out to your neighbors, to your friends, those who are vulnerable, your family, you have been showing them Jesus. Have you been praying for people and caring for people? You've been showing them Jesus. Those of you that have made meals for folks, have gone across the street and met your neighbors for the very first time, you're showing them Jesus. And let's don't forget that. Number three, the crisis that we've been through will create new opportunities. It already has created new opportunities. And those new opportunities give us the power to change the trajectory of our lives. New and creative ideas are coming to the church. I was even talking to our sound man, Eric. Eric is saying that during this crisis, the Lord has spoken to him about starting a cleaning company. And so among all the other things that he's doing, he's starting a company. He and his friends are putting together a company to disinfect and to clean places. They've already got contracts going. Let me tell you something. The same way God spoke to Eric, God can speak to you. He can give you a new, fresh idea about your own business. He can give you a fresh idea about a new business. He can give you a new employer. He can let you prosper even in the times of uncertainty. God wants us to understand that there's new opportunities. And finally, I believe that we need to redeem the time, right? We've had time to find our secret place with God. Psalm 91:1 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." We have talked about this. We have looked at it. We have preached on it. And we have visited about it. Everybody wants to be under the shadow of the Almighty. But there is a caveat. What is that caveat? You have got to find that secret place of the Most High. Say, well, what is the secret place? I'm not sure what that is. That is your place of devotion, your place of worship, your private place with the Lord, your private time with God. You're listening to his voice, you're hearing his voice, and he is hearing your prayers. It's not just a time where you make a to-do list for God and have a Santa Claus guest present list for the things that you need. No, it's a time where you sit in God's presence, where you worship him, where you pray to him, where you seek his face. So many people want to seek his hands so he'll do something for them. But that secret place, that place where we seek the face of God. And I believe we've had time to do that. We've had time to examine ourselves and make changes. We've had time to realign our values. We've had time to develop new habits. And we've had time with family and learn the importance of community. We won't be going back to normal. Can somebody say amen? One of our members, Loma Escara, wrote me a prophetic word this morning. As she was, not this morning, this past couple of weeks ago, and she was just pondering and thinking about all the different things and the implications for the things that she had seen and was and had experienced during this time of this coronavirus. And here's what she said. I wonder if the month of May, which we're right in the middle of it now, might be a deeper exploration, a deeper discovery, a deeper confirmation of what our identity is as a church community. And that God is providing for us both space and time for that to be refined and prepared for what is about to come. Now, when I read that, I thought, you know, that really is what's going on. You know, this is not judgment that's come upon the church or judgment that's come upon the world. This is a time that God has allowed us so that we might examine ourselves, so that we might ponder those deeper things of God as to, God, what is our identity in this community? And Lord, as we hone that down to what God has placed us here for, why we are taking the next breath, why we have a life to lead, then as we begin to ponder that, I believe God is going to begin to speak to us. And the place that we go back will not be normal because normal doesn't exist. Number two, the church must set the narrative. I learned this from Dr. Rob Carman. And, you know, he said this. He says, government does not set the narrative of the resolution of this crisis. Dr. Fauci doesn't set the narrative for the resolution of this crisis. The CDC, the WHO, the county and city officials, our governor, none of those people set the narrative, are supposed to set the narrative for this crisis. The church of the living God is supposed to set the narrative of this. They can lock the doors of the church building, but you cannot shackle the church. You've been out there. We're the church. We're the church of the living God. This building that we're in this morning is an auditorium, a place where people can hear the word of God. But it's only the church when you're here. And so you are now scattered to the four winds being the church out there. And so that's exciting because the church is not a building. We're the church. The Bible says that we're ministers of reconciliation. We're ambassadors and representatives of the kingdom of God. And our confession about this situation, about the resolution of the coronavirus issue, doesn't come by the events that are going on out there. It comes by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. That means we're not looking at things to take our cues of what's going on out there. We're looking at the word of God. We're in that secret place listening to the voice of God. We're hearing what God has to say, and then we are obeying what he speaks into our hearts. And so it is the church who sets the narrative. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." I want you to notice the word proceeds there. It is the present tense. God is speaking. And if you and I are going to walk with God, we got to be able to hear him moment by moment, day by day. And we got to be able to know and understand and discern his voice in this moment and be able to follow him. Because we believe, just like it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, not his hands, and turn from their wicked ways, then the Bible says that God will hear from heaven. He will forgive their sin and heal their land. You want the conclusion of the coronavirus? I just read it. You want to see when this thing is going to end? This is when it's going to end. It's going to end when you, the church of the living God, when me, when the pastors in the pulpits of America and around the world, when we begin to lead our people, because we are called by his name, when we begin to lead our people in humility, we pray, we seek the face of God, we turn from our wickedness, and then the Bible says that God will hear from heaven, God will forgive our sin, and God will heal our land. Let me tell you something, church, the healing power of God is coming. As we turn our hearts back to God, as we forsake our wickedness, as we forsake all those things that are idolatry, that we put things we put before God, as we begin to seek your face, to hear your voice, to discern your ways, I believe that not only are you going to restore power to the church, but you're going to restore authority to the church. And God is going to begin to do great things. You see, the church must set the narrative. Because God is doing a new thing. He is doing a new thing. When I say we're never going to go back to normal, we're never going to go back because it doesn't exist. It won't exist. It is gone, gone, gone. And so everything in your past, everything that you keep bringing up for today, listen, all that stuff is buried into the in the way back. It is gone. There is no normal. There's no going back to the way it used to be because God is doing something fresh, something new. Here's what the Bible says in Isaiah 43. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, God says, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen people, whom I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. You know, that's what God's looking for. God is looking for those who worship him in spirit and in truth. God wants a people that will push away the idolatries of the 21st century. All those things that our heart goes after. So that one main thing, Jesus, he can be what our heart goes after. He can be what it is that we give our lives to. He can be what it is that we want most of all of everything that we have. And I just believe that God's doing something fresh and something new, and it's going to begin to spring up faster than you expect. Things are going to happen faster than you expect. God, look, we're not waiting on God. He's waiting on us. We're not waiting on him to do something. He's already done what he's going to do. He's waiting on us to respond. How are we going to respond? By making him the Lord of our lives, not just with our words, but with our life and our actions. He's looking for people who will worship him. People that worship him in the spirit, that would be able to see the spirit of God moving and reacting and responding to the people in the places that we go, that we'll be able to be people who worship him in spirit and in truth, and in truth. And so God is looking for that. Why? Because he's doing a new thing. You know, I'm excited about this message because I'm going to share something with you that absolutely this week blew me away. Back in June of 2019, so that's going to be, let's see, almost 11 months ago. Missy Lukens, who is a member of this church, she was living in New Mexico at the time, and Missy had a word for the church. She came one Sunday morning. She shared a word with me. I asked her to go and write it down and send it back to me. So on June the 9th of 2019, she sent me this word. And I'm going to read it in part. It says, the word I have for Trinity Church is acceleration. Acceleration. I sense acceleration coming. A palpable and tangible infilling and presence of the Holy Spirit is coming to accelerate growth and maturity to enable the church to function in power and the glory realm in new ways. Growth will be in all directions, in all levels of the church. My sense is that people will be maturing quickly in their spiritual gifts and moving into new ministries, both within the church and the marketplace. And you, talking about me, are enabling power to come upon the church, which will empower the people to step into their ministries and to begin to lead. Now, I got that back last June. I read it, I thought about it, prayed about it, filed it away. And so here we come now to January of this year. Now, this is now full 2 months before we heard anything about the coronavirus out there in the public. Other people were hearing about it, but very, very little information about it. So on January the 5th, 2020, she wrote this prophetic word to me. Now, I'd called her before our conference. We have a conference every January, and so I'd called her before that. I actually text her and say, hey, Missy, if you got a word for us during this conference time, I'd love to hear it. So she fired back this word. She fired back these words. She said, I sought the Lord to see what word he might have for the new year 2020 for C3 Trinity. And here's what I believe the Lord is saying. And here's what she said. Brace for impact! Exclamation point. Now that sounded a bit negative, she said. So I sought the Lord to more understand what he was saying. And here's what I believe he revealed to me. The Lord says to you, I am indeed accelerating. I am indeed bringing new people together in creative ways to prepare for the growth of the church. Now watch this. The first quarter will be about suddenly. Now the first quarter this year, January, February, March, think about what happened. January, we were all thinking about the year going to be awesome. February, we were all out in restaurants, eating, drinking, and being merry. And along came March. And along came March. Suddenly, something happened to us. So here she says, the first quarter will be about suddenly. Suddenly being in new structures. Wow. Suddenly being in new organizations of people. Wow. New relationships. It's going to be a bit messy at first as we sort things out. But brace for impact. Acceleration always is into something. For the Lord says, I've gone ahead to prepare for you. Sometimes the mess isn't always resistance from the enemy. Sometimes it's because it's all new. And you need to press into me to understand, to gain discernment, and to see my way of untangling and aligning and organizing. So we are going to come out of the gates. That was back during our conference, presence conference. Remember what our word was? The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20. And so he says we're going to come out of the gate with explosive acceleration into a new level. There will be some confusion, right? But that's not a bad thing. It's just as I am building Trinity, my church, my body, and taking them to the next level, I don't want it to be easy because then you could handle it in your own strength and power. I want you to seek me, and as you seek me, I will download the blueprints and the playbook, and you will have all that you need to build to assemble for the next level. So it's go time. We're going to take off out of the gates and quickly arrive and impact into our next level and destination. There'll be some chaos. Don't rebuke the enemy here. The right strategy will be to seek me. Find that secret place. Seeking God's face. Turning from our wicked ways. He says to seek me, he says, for my instructions. Follow those instructions and we'll quickly get into the next level. Now, listen, at the time, this didn't mean to me what it means to me today, right? At the time I read it, you know, I was excited by it. I thought it was awesome. But now as I reflect back over what's happening, listen, this is not something that caught God by surprise. The coronavirus is not just some thing that we can just rebuke and it's going to go away. God has something for us to learn during this time. He has something that he wants us to pick up, something that he wants us to understand, something he wants us to get. And I'm telling you, it's not just the church that ought to be leading the narrative on this, but even the business world gets it. This past weekend, Pastor Terry Moore gave me an article from the chief economist at the Bank of America. Here's what he had to say. He wrote a forecast of the post-coronavirus economy. You know what he named it? The Great Acceleration. The Great Acceleration. He says, history has shown that major crises often lead to fundamental shifts in economic and social behavior. In the 1930s, the Great Depression engendered economic protectionism, and it laid the foundations for the Second World War. But it also boosted resourcefulness, productivity, and innovation. World War II brought more women to the workforce. That's what some economists have identified as one of the most important economic developments of the 20th century. Meanwhile, the 2008 global financial crisis heralded a new era of populism, an anti-establishment sentiment fueled by widening inequalities. This current coronavirus pandemic will similarly lead to adjustments. Adjustments in the way that we work, the way that we think, the way that we live, the way that we learn, the way that we shop, the way that we travel, and the way that we entertain. This virus is unlikely to completely reset behavior, but instead it will ultimately add momentum to the global themes that were already in place prior to the virus. What may have taken several years or decades to evolve is likely to become reality sooner than we anticipated. As the Microsoft CEO stated, we've seen 2 years worth of digital transformation in only the last 2 months. Acceleration. And you can believe me that if the world is accelerating to their trends, to their goals, to their objectives, the church better get alongside and pick up the pace too, right? Because God is doing something new. He's doing something precious. He's preparing us for the greatest harvest of all time. He's preparing us for a move of the Holy Spirit. You know, I just believe that in the coming days, people are going to be won and brought into the Lordship of Christ quicker and faster than ever. People are going to become disciples of Jesus quicker and faster than ever, eager and hungry to learn the scriptures and to walk in the ways of God. People are going to become leaders quicker and faster than they ever have. The churches are going to be planted. New missions are going to be established. That the Word of God is going to be shared throughout the whole world, the Bible says, and then the end shall come. We live in amazing times, brothers and sisters. Everything is accelerating. What is it accelerating towards? It's accelerating towards the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's accelerating towards His coming back. And it's time for the church to arise. This is our hour. This is not the moment to lay back. This is the moment to set the narrative. We control the narrative. We are going to speak out to what's really happening here. What is really happening here? The whole world is groaning and preparing for the coming of Jesus Christ, the second coming of Christ. And so we need to be ready. We need to be ready. The church must thrive. You know, Jesus taught on this subject. Here's what he said in Luke chapter 5. He spoke a parable to them. He says this: no one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and then the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins so that both of them are preserved. Brothers and sisters, if we could do this in our own power, in our own thought life, if we could get this done in our own ingenuity, in our own excitement, in our own zeal, then it wouldn't be the Lord. God is doing something fresh and new, but it's going to require us to reach out to Him. The old systems are not going to work when that new wine comes. The old ways of doing things are not going to work as that new wine begins to be poured out. We're going to have to find new systems, new ways of handling things, new ways. And what's happened over the last 2 weeks, we have learned more about online church in the last 2 months than we knew in the past 25 years put together. And so God's accelerating us into new relationships, accelerating us into new opportunities, accelerating us into new abilities to be able to reach the lost, to be able to disciple those who are under the Lordship of Christ, to train leaders, to equip the church to be the church. And what's expectant of us in this hour is that we don't try to cut a new piece of cloth and put it on an old one. That won't work. We can't take the new that God is doing in our lives and somehow work it into what we were doing before this happened. We can't take the old wineskins that we had and somehow think, you know, well, we get them out, we polish them up, and we really work on them, that when the new wine goes in, it'll be okay. No, when the new wine goes in, they'll burst, and you'll ruin the new wine and the skins both. We got to be people who come up with new ideas, new ways of reaching people, new ways of making disciples, new ways of training leaders, new ways of reaching people. And the only way we're going to find these, brothers and sisters, is that if we set our hearts to seek the Lord, as we get the idolatries out of our lives and seek His face, we've got to cast off the old and embrace the new. So I know there's some of you listening to me today that you're really upset that you're not here right now. I get that. I understand that. I mean, I'm longing for that day to come back. But let me tell you something. The old normal of all of us getting together, dressing up, dressing down, however it is you come, and then coming in, hearing some worship, being ministered to by that, and then having the word and being ministered to by that, and walking out into the normal world that you've always had, that day is over. Yeah. It's over. We got to be the church. And if we're going to be the church, we got to hear his voice. We got to follow his ways. We got to follow this. Here's four things you can expect. Number one, it's going to be messy and confusing. Some of you are already out there confused. Welcome to the party. Welcome to the party. I don't know why it had to be done like this, why it had to come like this. I don't get all the stuff that's come down. I'm just telling you, if you want to really get confused, turn on the nightly news and watch it on two or three different channels. It's time to turn that off. Trying to get back in your Bible. That's where the truth is. This is where we're going to get our life from, right there. And so it's going to be messy and it's going to be confusing. So you can expect that. Number two, we must seek the Lord. It's time, brothers and sisters, to lay down all of our idolatries. I keep saying that word idolatry. What I mean is those things that we put forth in front of God. Those things that we lay out there that we put more energy into, more time into, more passion into than we do God. It's not that those things are bad if we've got God first in our life. But if he's not first in our life, something else is. You know, one old saint said one time, he said, you know, there only exists in the heart of man room for only one all-consuming passion. That passion needs to be Jesus. It needs to be his church. It needs to be his people. And so it may be messy and confusion, but we have to seek the Lord. Number three, we've got to be courageous. We've got to be courageous. It's time for courage, brothers and sisters. It's time for us to take courage, to take those steps. Listen, and be courageous. I'm going to just tell you something. It took a little courage just to not invite everybody to come back and be with us today. But we want to get together at the moment where we can create a service here that impacts you just as much or more in the service that we have online. You say, well, that didn't even sound right. But I'm telling you, it's right. If we brought you in here and everybody had to wear a mask and everybody had to sit 6 feet apart and every other row was taken out, you would think you were coming into an intensive care ward. We ain't doing that. And so until the moment till we can get you all in here where we can sit elbow to elbow and smile and laugh and high-five each other, I mean, the very idea of coughing into your elbow and then giving somebody an elbow. And so until we can do that, then we're not going to meet together. And so how long is that going to be? Well, here's the word. It's accelerating. It's accelerating. It's going to be faster than you think. And so we got to be courageous. Number four, finally, is we got to tarry until we receive power. We got to tarry until we can receive power. We need the power of God. More than ever, we need God's power. Next week is Pentecost Sunday, and we're going to be talking about the power of God released into the church of the living God. It's going to be right on the tails of this, the day that changed the world, Pentecost Sunday. You say, well, that was the day that Jesus resurrected. Yes, that changed the world, no question about it. That is the pinnacle of Christianity, the fact that we serve a living Savior. But what changed the world was that he gave power to men. And that power and that authority those men had went out into the world and ultimately changed the whole world. His spirit being released changed the whole world. It's amazing. It's amazing. And so we got to be courageous and we got to tarry until we receive the power. We're not going to go back to normal. The church is going to set the narrative and God is doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. I want to pray with you right this moment. If you're listening right now, wherever you are, maybe you're close to the church somewhere here in Dallas, or maybe you're miles and hundreds of miles, thousands of miles away. Let me tell you, you can be a part of this new thing that God is doing. You can be a part of the revolution that's coming. You can be a part of that. There is a changing of the guard. There's a discarding of the old and an embracing of the new. There's something powerful happen, but the first step you got to take is you got to get your heart right with Jesus. You got to get your life right with Jesus. You can't come with all your hang-ups, trashes, all the stuff that you got, you know, that you think more of than you think more of Jesus. I'm not saying you have to be sterile. I'm not saying you have to be perfect. I'm just saying you have to have a heart that's pointed to Jesus. That's it. you have a heart that's pointed to Him and you want Jesus to come into your life and take those hang-ups, take those that baggage that you're carrying, deal with your heart, raise you out of the deathbed, wherever you are right now, He can do it. But I want you to give Him your life. I want you to give Him your heart. Not just halfway, not just 90%, not just 99%. I want you to give Him all your heart. And I want you to pray with me. I want you to say this, Lord Jesus, come into my life and change me. I repent of my sins and I turn my heart to You. Thank You, Lord, for doing in me what I can't do myself. Make me a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer, or you know you need to get your life, your heart right with God, you can text the word prayer to that number right here on the screen. If you'll text the word prayer, we'll have one of our staff members, one of our leaders, reach out to you and pray with you and help you take the next step that God has for you. But now's the time for action. So if you text prayer to that number and allow God to have your heart, things are going to change big time for you. And you're going to see yourself accelerating right into the purpose and the purposes for which God created you in the first place. Our worship team, we're going to worship here just for a moment, give you time, think through what it is you want from the Lord. If you need prayer, if you need to make that confession to the Lord, just text that word, prayer, prayer, to that number that's right there on the screen. Let's worship God.
There is new power, there is new freedom, and the kingdom is here. I lay down my old flames to carry Your new fire today. You can just stand where you are and just declare this. 'Cause where there is new wine, there is new power, there is new freedom.
Lord, I thank You for Your presence that's here today. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity we've had, Lord, to share Your truth. Lord, that You are doing a new thing. There's no question about that, God. Even the economists see that. And so, Lord, I just thank You for Your presence today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us today. We're so grateful that you have joined us here online. So amazing to be able to use this technology to reach out to you, those of you whom God's already been speaking to this message. If something rose up in your heart, something that that makes sense to me. That is something that I can embrace. That's something that I want with my life. And we'd like to have just a record of you saying that, sharing that. Just, if you would, just text prayer to that number below. And when someone reaches out to you, just let them know that, hey, man, this word is really what I needed to hear today because I want to be a part of the new thing that God is doing. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Be sure before you leave today to subscribe to our YouTube channel, to like us, and we appreciate you guys being with us. Check our website out for all the things that we have going on this week. We want to be there for you, to help you, equip you, and to encourage you to be everything God's calling you to be. God bless you, and have a great, great week.